Welcome to Up Gunners, the ultimate podcast for Arsenal football fans worldwide. You're ready to dive into the latest updates, insightful analysis, breaking news, and all things Arsenal from the perspective of a passionate Nigerian supporter. Now join me, Tony Doe, as I explore the highs, lows, and everything in between of being part of the Gunners family. So grab your jersey, settle in, and let's kick off this journey together. Up Gunners! So over the weekend, Arsenal women staged a late comeback to secure a crucial 3-1 victory against Aston Villa in the Women's Super League. Despite a delayed start, Arsenal's Weepin Moi, Victoria Bolova, and substitute Stena Blackstenius sealed the win, keeping their title hopes alive. The match saw Aston Villa take an early lead through Ebony Salmon, but Arsenal's dominance prevailed, securing 3 vital points. So how did this happen? What changed? Well, at halftime, coach Jonas Eidevall identified a couple of key aspects. First, he noticed how Aston Villa was set up defensively. They had a solid 5-3-2 formation that made it tough for Arsenal to break through. So, he emphasized the importance of attacking with structure, focusing on drawing out Villa's players on one side and then quickly shifting the play to exploit openings on the other. Now, secondly, he picked up on Aston Villa's preference for playing out from the back, and so he urged the girls to press more aggressively when Villa tried to build from deep, aiming to win the ball back in dangerous areas and create scoring opportunities directly from those situations. Now, these adjustments helped Arsenal take control in the second half, leading to better attacking movement and ultimately securing the win. Arsenal secured a 2-1 victory over Brentford a while ago, with Kai Havertz sealing the win with a goal. Despite facing initial doubt, Havertz has been excelling at Arsenal following a challenging stint at Chelsea. Our guys have even scored for Germany. His recent performances with 4 goals and 2 assists in 4 games highlight his quality and thus justifies Arsenal's decision to sign him. Arsenal's overall form is on the rise, bolstering our chances in the Premier League. The upcoming match against Manchester City will present a significant test, but this team's current form offers plenty of hope. Also, Arsenal's squad is strengthening with the return of injured players like Jesus, Partey, and Zinchenko. Arsenal Football Club, under the guidance of manager Mikel Arteta, is undergoing a significant transformation, as reported by The Athletic. Recent developments have shown Arteta's focus on instilling physical dominance within the team, with a strategic emphasis on height and power. Club's new intimidating presence is symbolized by a mural featuring key players reflecting Arteta's deliberate efforts to reshape Arsenal's identity. This shift towards a more physically imposing squad draws comparisons to past successes, particularly the legendary Invincibles team. With Arteta's strategic acquisitions and tactical adjustments, Arsenal aims to compete at the highest level with newfound strength and confidence for many years to come. Mikel Arteta assumed the managerial position at Arsenal when? In 2020. Initially, he faced criticism but later transformed the team into Premier League contenders. Winning the FA Cup in 2020 was a significant milestone, providing Arteta with credibility in securing his managerial role. Now, despite a precarious period during the winter of 2020, Arteta's tenure persevered, notably with key signings such as Martin Odegaard, enhancing Arsenal's attacking prowess and creativity. The club's transfer strategy in 2021 prioritized young talent, aligning Arteta's vision and fan expectation for improvement. The acquisition of Declan Rice in 2022 revealed Arsenal's strengthened financial position and Arteta's ambition for the team. Following a crucial 4-1 defeat against Manchester City, Arteta prioritized off-the-ball competitiveness, reshaping the team's defensive approach and emphasizing the recruitment of ball-playing defenders and goalkeepers. This strategic focus on defensive stability and ball progression enabled Arsenal to better control games and compete effectively against top-tier opponents. Arsenal has undergone a significant defensive transformation this season, replacing players like David Luiz and Mustafi with the likes of Gabriel and Saliba. Their defensive prowess is evident, conceding only 5 goals since the winter break, establishing them as one of the Premier League's top defenses. Key factors contributing to this success include the club's financial stability, data-driven recruitment strategy, and emphasis on dominating the opposition's final third. Arsenal's defensive strength is complemented by our out-of-possession structure, pressing tactics, and recent signings geared towards bolstering our defensive capabilities. The upcoming matches against Manchester City and Bayern Munich will serve as crucial tests for Arsenal's defensive prowess and our ability to compete at the highest level. If you did doubt, stop being a Thomas. Oi, turns out Loki's a gooner. On a recent episode of David Seaman's podcast, I caught the actor sharing his deep admiration for Arsenal's rich history and players. Talked about his early days in North London and the support he enjoyed from his family. He even mentions accompanying David Seaman to recent games where the Gunners notched late winners. Could it be due to the charms of the trickster god? Hiddleston's journey into Arsenal fandom has been marked by deep-rooted connections. His fondness for football icons like Dennis Bergkamp and Thierry Henry resonates with his love for the Gunners. With Arsenal's optimistic stance in the Premiership and hopes for league success, Hiddleston's insights provide a glimpse into the emotional bond that football can create. So go check out that episode, it's on YouTube somewhere. Unai Emery's tenure at Arsenal was a mixed bag, marked by moments of promise and frustration. On the positive side, he inherited a team in transition and managed to guide them to Europa League final in his first season, showcasing his tactical acumen. Emery also oversaw the emergence of young talents like Bukayo Saka and Matteo Guendouzi, injecting vitality into the squad. However, his reign was marred by inconsistency and defensive frailties, with Arsenal often struggling to maintain leads and conceding soft goals. Despite signing players like Nicola Pepe and Lucas Torreira, Emery couldn't quite solidify the team's identity or improve their defensive solidity. In terms of statistics, Emery's win percentage at Arsenal was respectable, hovering around 55%. But he could not secure Champions League qualification, which ultimately led to his dismissal. The lack of a clear playing style and a string of disappointing performances eroded fan confidence and contributed to his downfall. But I can't help but wonder, sometimes, if Emery had stayed a little longer, maybe with a bit more time and perhaps better communication with the players, he might have been able to instill his tactical vision more effectively. If certain signings had panned out differently, or if key players had stayed fit, then Arsenal could have potentially challenged for a top 4 finish and even silverware during his tenure. But alas, we'll never know for sure. That's a wrap for today's episode of Up Gunners, and I hope you enjoyed delving into the world of Arsenal Football Club with me, Tony Doe. Don't forget to subscribe to stay up to date with all future episodes. If you have any thoughts, questions, or suggestions, feel free to reach out to me at upgunnerspodcast@gmail.com. upgunnerspodcast@gmail.com. I'm active on Twitter as well at upgunnersng, active on Facebook at upgunnersng. We're also on Instagram at upgunnersng. Until next time, keep the Gunner spirit alive, and remember, Up Gunners!